Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5, book of Ephesians chapter 5, we are in a series of messages. We started last week on simply talking about, I am a church member, being a church member. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace, has saved many of us, and hopefully, prayerfully, you're saved as well tonight. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but also, not only did He save you, He saw fit to place you into a local New Testament church where you can grow, where you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ alongside of other brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you can honor His name. I'll be honest, we live in a day and time when it comes to the local church that many have a, many people when it comes to the local church, they don't really see a need. They see it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter where you go, it really doesn't make no difference. And we live in a culture, in the context of commitment, there's really a lot of lack thereof. But as your pastor, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your commitment to Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. This indeed is the bride of Christ, the local New Testament church, the body. And because of that, we have a privilege and an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him. As we'll show you in just a moment, God in His grace sought fit to place you in this body. I said to you also, and I've been saying this recently, that this church is not perfect. Amen? It isn't perfect. And the reason it isn't perfect is because it's made up of imperfect people, starting from the pastor going all the way down. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. But in the context of being a church member, last Sunday night we dealt with the subject of a book that I've read by Dr. Tom Rainer, who really brings out six, really, they're very passionate pledges, if you will, kind of challenges, motivational thoughts of what it means and what being a church member means. We brought out last week and how Dr. Rainer talked about many people have a kind of a country club mentality when it comes to church. The difference between a country club and membership and a church membership. A country club membership is you pay your money, you pay your dues, and with that comes perks. People will serve you because you're a member of that. When it comes to a local New Testament church, that's not the ideology and the mentality of what membership is in a local church. Membership in a local church means I've come not to be served, but to serve. Amen? I've come to serve. I've come to sacrifice. I've come to, as we'll see tonight, to pray and to give of my time, my talents, my treasures, to further the name of Christ and continue the work of God that absolutely has the opportunity to outlast you. Would it be said, and hopefully prayerfully it will be said, that when we're dead and gone, that the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church will continue to thrive and we'll continue to reach more people for Jesus Christ, and we'll continue to reach out with the gospel into a lost and dying world and see hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians chapter 5, the context, of course, the Apostle Paul, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's writing to a local church. You know, it's a church much like we are. It was a local assembly. It would have been a church that would have received this letter, and they would have read this letter. Bear also in mind that in their time, they didn't have the completed canonicity of Scripture like you and I have. We have the Bible. We have the completed Bible. They had bits and pieces of the Bible, primarily Old Testament writings, but Paul is writing this letter that God would then later absolutely add to the 66 books, which is the wonderful Word of God. But here he is, he's writing this, and he's writing this to give them instruction in regards of their walk with God. He's giving them instruction in their church relationship, and he's giving them instruction, as we'll see in a moment, about the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle that we are in. Tonight's thought, and really tonight's kind of the theme around our second aspect of what it means to be a church member, is this: I will lead my family to be healthy church members. I am a church member, and because of that, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. With that, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start in verse number 18. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Dr. Rainer, what he does at the end of every chapter is he puts in that book a pledge, really kind of a prayer and a pledge. And this is the pledge under this chapter. He says, I am a church member. I will lead my family to be good members of this church as well. We will pray together for our church. We will worship together in our church. We will serve together in our church. And we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gave his life for her. I like that. Jesus Christ gave his life for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. Aren't you thankful to God for that? Amen. What a joy. So Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start a reading in verse number 18 to kind of get the context. Paul writes, and he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, it all starts there. It starts with being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that we get more of the Spirit? No, that's not what it means. It means that the Spirit of God gets more of our life, and honestly, contextually, literally means that the Spirit of God has full control of our lives. And by the way, that ought to be the goal of your life, that God has full control, amen? That the Lord Jesus Christ controls me and watches over me and guides me and leads me and directs me. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, we talked about that this morning, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But notice in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Do you see the parallel? He's dealing with the family. He's dealing with, right now, he's dealing with the husband and the wife relationship, and he parallels that to Christ and his relationship of the church. He goes on in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing in the reading of your word. We thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture really indicates a lot of things to us in regards of our relationship as a family, and that's really what you just read about. It's a relationship of a family coming to the house of God. Bear in mind that this church, this local assembly, was made up of people. It was made up of families. No doubt would have been made up perhaps of even single people. But the context of these verses, Paul is dealing in the context of the aspect that as a church family, as a church member, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. It's God's will. Listen, friend, it is absolutely God's will that the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church be a healthy church. Amen? It's God's will for that. One of the ways I think, and I don't know who originally made this observation, but I like when it comes to being a healthy church, you know, one of the signs of kind of being a healthy church is when you have ministry all the way from little bitty babies all the way up through senior adult. And we've got a pretty good, man, we had a baby explosion this morning, didn't we? Wow, man, I think we had 75 babies here. Not that many, but we had quite a few. We had a lot of little babies. And we have that ministry. Then you go all the way up through teenage years and or elementary and teenager and young adult and, you know, college and young adult and young married and middle age and then senior adult. You have the whole dynamic. You say, preacher, yeah, but I mean, why is it important? Listen, here's why it's important to be a healthy church, to be a healthy church member and also be a healthy church, because we must stay focused on reaching people regardless of what age group they fall in. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because there's a lot of churches today, and I know of churches. I know of churches that have no time for young people. Well, you might as well just buy your grave plots, because that church is going to die. Or let me say, that church is dying. If all our focus is to just minister just to senior adult, it's inevitable, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a death rattle in the throat of that church. But we must stay focused to reach everybody. And you heard me talk maybe last year about sometimes churches get in that years ago, I don't know, how, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, they came out with a book. And really the premise of behind the book was churches need to establish what their target group is. Their target group is middle aged, and that's their target group, and they go primarily after that. The only problem with that, I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that in Scripture. I see in Scripture of going into a lost and dying world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Amen? To everybody. And let the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing too that the more you reach out and the more you care for people and the more you genuinely love people and the more heart's desire you have to minister to people, it's amazing to me how God often will bring more people across your path to minister to them. Is it fair to ask this question? Do you think it's because God trusts churches like that, that they're going to minister to the people who He loves and cares about? I pray to God that that indeed would be who we are. So as a church member, I will lead my family to be a healthy church member. I will lead them to be healthy church members. How do we do that? Number one, we pray together as a family for the church. I love that. We pray together for the as a family for the church. You say, preacher, how should we pray for the church? Pray for spiritual protection. Do you realize, and I'm going to show you in a minute in the book of Ephesians, we're in a spiritual battle. And let me just make a statement to you. It's no joke, brothers and sisters. Satan's desire is to destroy this congregation. You didn't hear that. His desire is to destroy this local assembly. You say, well, preacher, why would the devil care? Because our goal and our desire is to honor Christ, but it's also to reach people for Christ. And in reaching people for Christ, we're honoring Christ and ministering to people, loving people. We've said on many occasions that this church is not a perfect place, and we're not a trophy case where perfect sinners display or perfect saints display their splendor. No, we're a hospital. We better be and continue to be a hospital for hurting people, where people can come in the doors if they're down, if they're discouraged, if they're ready to quit on life. And prayerfully, God uses us as instruments of mercy and vessels of encouragement to go to them, to minister to them in Jesus' name, and love them to Jesus Christ. That ought to be our goal. Pray together as a church family for spiritual protection, for courage, for wisdom and leadership. Pray for your pastor. I asked you that last Sunday night. Please pray for me. Pray for Brother Stephen. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. You say, yeah, but preacher, I don't always like you. Neither does my wife. But she still prays for me. Amen. You say, yeah, but preacher, there's some things I don't agree with. That's okay. Amen. Listen, that's okay. It's okay. But don't get disagreeable. Amen. Don't get hateful. Don't get mean-spirited about it. And here's also what I've learned about God. If there's disagreements, here's what you can do. Here's what you can do about it. You can talk to God about it and watch how God may manifest his presence in the midst of that disagreement. God does amazing things. So as a church member, I will challenge and I will absolutely lead my family to pray together. And pray together as a family for the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. So in the context, doing a little bit different type of preaching. We've covered these verses in great detail over the years. But we're not going to necessarily exposit those verses. But our goal was to show you that the church at Ephesus, that local assembly, was made up of families. And ladies, and you know, you've heard this. I think Brother Stephen alluded to this not too long ago, that so goes the families, so goes the church. A church will only be as healthy as its families are, as its members are. A church will only be as healthy as that. So I challenge you to pray, indeed, as a church. Pray as a family for the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. You know the verses. Finally, brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, literally schemes. The devil has a lot of schemes. He has a lot of different ways to attack God's children. One of his greatest tools is discouragement. One of his greatest tools is discouragement. And buddy, he will use that as much as he can. He'll use that. That's why it's important to stay teachable and allow yourself to be ministered to. Because I've seen in my own personal life, by way of testimony, in my own personal life, there's been many occasions in the local churches that I've been a member of over the years, there's been many occasions that God has used members in that local assembly to speak encouragement into my life and literally gives me the strength to go another day for my Lord. The devil wants to discourage you. The devil will whisper in your ear. He'll tell you all kinds of things. He'll tell you you're worthless. He'll tell you you're of no amount to God. He'll tell you that you're nothing. But you know what? Here's what you need to understand about Satan. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Everything. Everything that comes out of his mouth, indeed, is a lie straight from hell. So as a church family, as a member of this body, we will lead our family. We will pray together as a family for the church, for spiritual protection, for wisdom and leadership, for discernment, for grace. Look at the rest of the verses. For we wrestle, look at verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you realize we are not at war with each other? This battle is not against flesh and blood. We are not at war with each other. And by the way, Satan loves it when church members get at odds with each other. Amen? He loves that. Because here's what he does. If Satan can get one member mad at another member, buddy, he can get a foothold in that church. And then what happens is that one member that's mad at this member, they can't stay quiet about it. So then they go to another member and they try to draw people to their side, and this one tries to draw people to their side. And eventually what you have is schism in the body. You have a problem, you have a dysfunction, if you will, in that church family. And ladies and gentlemen, where that schism is, the Holy Spirit of God isn't. Satan is. And he'll do everything in his power to do that. So be careful, make certain. And I keep saying no church is perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. But again, let me stay in the context of Ephesians. Churches are made up of families. Let me ask you a family question. Do you have family members that drive you nuts? Can I get a witness in the building? But here's something you need to understand. They're still your family. And you still love them, right? You say, no, I wrote them off. Well, on the authority of the Bible, we're still to love them. We're still to pray for them. There's no doubt in my mind that if your family, if they're in another state, because I've had this happen often in my family just in the last year. If they're in another state, and maybe you haven't talked to them in months, perhaps years, You let tragedy strike your family member, what happens? Because they're family, and because blood is thicker than water, what happens? It draws you together, right? Am I preaching to just not nothing? I mean, doesn't it do that? Doesn't tragedy drive you together as a family? I just preached a funeral service of my cousin, Gary, who was, I think he was 50, he was in his 50s, who died of cancer. And I hadn't seen Gary in years and hadn't seen a lot of my family since my grandmother passed away. Cameron is 27. How old are you, Cameron? 14, soon to be 15. My grandmother died when he was a year old, right? So that was 22 years ago. Do the math. So 13 years ago, my grandmother passed away. My family was very close, but you know what happened? When my grandmother died, she was the final, if you will, the matriarch of the family. She passed away over stupid things. Family took sides and started fighting over the dumbest things you've ever seen. And you know what it did? It drove a wedge between our family. I stayed out of it. I'm like, I'm in Michigan. You guys can, I don't want anything. I'm fine. And because of that, man, it really drove a wedge between our family. Hadn't seen some of my family in 13 years. But you let death happen. You let tragedy happen. And because they're my family, Brother Shirley, when I was asked, Tracy, will you preach Gary's funeral? Without hesitation, I said, I'd be honored to preach his funeral. And I went and preached his funeral. And it was amazing. I had family members coming, hugging my neck and loving on me and saying, Tracy, man, it's good to see you. Now, was I deliberately staying away from them because of the problem? We went our separate ways, and time, you know how time does. It doesn't stop. You say, well, preacher, what's your point? We love our families. And let me also say this. We better love them. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. We better love them unconditionally. Unconditionally. Let me ask you, let's talk about your immediate family. Because literally in the context of Ephesians 5, he's dealing with families. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, a church is to be a family. And in a church, listen, and maybe I'm getting out on a limb. Don't cut it off till I'm done preaching. But in a church family, there's going to be people that may, and you may find this as a shock, just like in your natural family, they may be people in a church that don't really rub you the right way, okay? Annoy you, probably a good word. You say, preacher, what do I do with people like that? They drive me crazy. You pray for them, and you love them. You love them. What about your immediate family? What about your children? Now, I know nobody will amen this. Have your children ever made bad choices? Don't amen it. Do you still love them? Have your children ever done the opposite of what you've told them to do? You still love them, right? So now let's parallel that. A church is a family. Have there ever been times in a church where the members of that family offended you? Have there ever been times in that church where members of that church family said something to you that maybe wasn't Christ-like? Or on the other side of the coin, maybe you've said things to other family members that wasn't Christ-like? But because of grace and mercy, they chose, and maybe you even chose, to forgive and love unconditionally. And guess what? God was glorified in that. God was honored in that. You see, so many times if we're not careful, we can get to the point, and as we'll get digging into this series, we get to the point in our life that church membership, really all it becomes is about my preferences and my wants. And that's never God's will. Our preferences and our wants should not be the number one staple of whether we stay or whether we go. What better be the number one staple is Jesus Christ be glorified and honored. And the Holy Spirit of God be our leader, be our teacher, be our guide. And the Holy Spirit, in His grace and mercy, keep this body unified. Keep this body in unity. Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Bible, it is absolutely God's will for a church to have unity. Amen? I will lead my family to pray for the church. Second of all, I will lead my family to worship together as a family. We will worship together as a family. Now, I hit that a lot this morning, the last couple of Sunday mornings, so we won't really go much into that. But one verse I will show you, I'll read it to you for time's sake. In Psalm 122, verse 1, very simple verse, very short verse, but let me read it to you. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Going to the house of the Lord ought to be a glad occasion. And if it isn't a glad occasion, then there needs to be some examination. There maybe needs to be some introspection as far as examining from the inside. Is it me, O Lord? Is the reason I can't be glad? Is it because there's something in my life, God? You know what's amazing about my Lord? What God will do often, maybe when something just isn't right. You ever said that? You ever felt that? Man, I just can't put my finger on it. But something just isn't right. I go to the house of God and, man, just something isn't right. Well, one of the ways I try, I sincerely mean this, one of the things that I try to do is if it isn't right, I honestly try many times to just get alone with the Lord and say, God, is it me? Lord, is it me? Is there something in my life? Is there unforgiveness in my life? God, if there is, please forgive me. God, if there's bitterness, Lord, please take that bitterness out and switch it with your love and your mercy. Allow me to be empathetic with people and love people unconditionally. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. So second of all, we will worship together as a family. But then thirdly, go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now this passage of Scripture, they call it the love chapter. It's a passage of Scripture that's read often at weddings. You'll hear this read. It's a tremendous read. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading it at weddings, but in the context. See, that's important. When you read your Bible, you understand the context. Do you realize that the context of 1 Corinthians 13 is church membership? That's the context. It's dealing with a church, a local New Testament church, a church at Corinth, who was a mess. Spiritually, they were a mess. They were carnal. Paul said, I can't feed you the meat of God's word because you're carnal. They were messed up on the spiritual gifts. They were arguing over who had the best gifts. The church services were chaotic at best. Preacher be preaching and one would stand up over here. Yeah, I've got a word. I've got this and I've got that. Another one would jump over here and I've got speaking tongue. Another jump over here while the services are going on. Absolutely chaotic. Jesus said, speaking of a local church, he said, let everything be done decently and in order. He's a God of order. There's a time and a place for testimony, amen? But there's also a time and a place for preaching the word of God. There's a time and a place for singing. There's a time and a place for worship as our tithes and offerings. There's a time and a place for that. It's not to be chaotic, because when it becomes chaotic, it's confusion. And when it becomes confusion, it's unnerving to the people. And when it becomes unnerving to the people, there's no worship because we're so worried and we're so confused and we don't know what's going on. So that's the context of 1 Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is writing, and this is a tremendous chapter, and here's the context. It's a local church ministry, and here's what's phenomenal. I will lead my family. I will lead my family to fall deeply in love with this church. Amen? For somebody to say, well, I love God, but I don't like the church. You know, it'd be like somebody saying, I love you, Pastor Harold, but I can't stand your wife. It's usually the other way around. My wife's a sweetheart. She's easy to get along with. It's usually the other way around. But no, seriously, it's like saying, I love you, God, but I can't stand your bride. Well, the only problem is with that, that doesn't jive with the Lord. Because we honestly, if I understand this correctly, we demonstrate how much we love Jesus by how we treat his bride. Isn't that good? We demonstrate how much we love God by how we treat his bride. You see, you have a preacher. The church is made up of people that just aren't perfect. Neither are you. Neither are you. And there may be times that just as much as you have to do for me, I have to do for you. Sometimes in love and mercy, just kind of say, you know what? We're not perfect, so we're going to pray. Amen? I could take that the wrong way, but better yet, let's just love Jesus. Let's serve Jesus together, and let's move forward. I forgive you. You forgive me. Let's move forward for Jesus' sake. Amen? Is that right? He said, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now. There ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Yeah, and hear my heart. Hear my heart before God. You are a hindrance to the body. You are hindering the body of Christ. But here's what does not hinder the body of Christ. You get hurt, and you choose out of, as an act of your will, to forgive for Christ's sake. God blesses that. God blesses that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because my hand could go up too. But how many of you have ever been hurt in church? Chances are a majority of us have. But also, how many of you, as an act of your will, chose to forgive the hurter? It's not proper English, but just stay with me for a minute. Chose to forgive the person that hurt you, and God blessed that relationship. And that relationship, because of an act of your will of choosing to forgive because of Christ, that relationship was restored, and if not better now than it ever was. God's an amazing God. Now, am I saying that we choose to forgive somebody and then we're all, everything's all chum, chum, buddy, buddy. No, there may be some relationships that aren't healthy for you. And there may be some people that aren't healthy to be around. We love them, yes, but they're not healthy for us necessarily to be around because they hinder our walk with God. And because they hinder our walk with God, that relationship needs to be examined. So just kind of keep that in mind. I'm not saying that we forgive and we just go right back into the same old stuff. No, we forgive because Christ commands it. It's not a suggestion. 1 Corinthians 13, I will lead my family to fall deeply in love with the bride of Christ. I will lead my family to fall deeply in love. Look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. Somebody says, well, charity in this verse, it means love. Well, it's more than that. The King James Bible has it correct. Charity means, think with me for a moment what a charitable contribution is. You give a charitable contribution with no anticipation of anything in return. That's this word. If I have not charity, if I have not love to the extremity that I give it with no anticipation of anything in return, unconditionally I give it. That's the word here. Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy, understand all knowledge, faith that remove mountains, and have not charity, look at verse 2. I'm nothing. Context is church membership. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That's good to do that. Great. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The motive behind it, here's where Paul gets to the point. He's getting to the point of motive. And motive is something that we can't necessarily see, but here's what's great about God. God knows your motive. And God knows my motive. So just kind of keep that in mind. Verse 4, charity, church membership now. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself. Verse 2, literally does not brag on itself, is not puffed up, arrogant. There's no church member in this place, there's no church member in Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, nor any other local assembly, that has anything to brag about other than bragging on Jesus. There's no church member in this body that should ever get arrogant. Are you kidding me? The minute we get arrogant, I'd be scared to death. The minute we think we've arrived is the very minute God may bring you low, brother. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. That's rudely. If you're a rude church member, you ain't right with God. Don't be rude. Well, I just say what I want to say. Well, I should hope that it has grace behind it. Amen? Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. For example, somebody comes forward, they've sinned against the body, they ask God to forgive them, they ask the church to forgive them. There'd be a tendency for church members to say, you know what, I knew they were going to do that. I told another church member, I knew they weren't living like they should. No, charity doesn't rejoice in that. Charity says, man, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for that person because they really showed a lot of courage coming before the church, admitting they're wrong, admitting they've sinned. And because of that, man, that they need my prayers more than ever before. So I'm going to pray for, me and my family, we're going to pray for that individual. That God hedges them about, that the Lord Jesus watches over them. Because we know Satan isn't happy when they get their life right with Christ. Satan's desire is to just destroy them. God's desire is to restore them. Amen? Verse 7, beareth all things, charity does, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I love that. Charity, this type of love, never fails. Love without any expectation in return. Giving to the point, literally giving to the point, Paul even said in another passage, I'll spend and be spent for you. That's charity. Charity never faileth, verse 8. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And by the way, he's talking about temporary gifts there. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, speaking of the word of God, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. You expect children to act like children. You don't expect adults to act like children. Y'all all right? Amen? I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away my Xbox. No, put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth, look at this now, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Wow. In the context of church membership, the greatest thing you can do for one another, the greatest thing you can do for this pastor is to love unconditionally. Amen? You say, yeah, but preacher, that person offended me. Well, you know what? I've been offended before too. And I'm telling you, if you don't forgive, it'll eat you up like a cancer. It will rob you of your joy. It will affect your fellowship with Jesus. There's nothing like coming to the house of God with a clear conscience and coming to the house of God knowing there's no bitterness towards anybody. You say, preacher, how do you know if there's bitterness? Here's what I want you to do next Sunday morning. Ready for this one? Next Sunday morning when you come here, and let's do an examination. Next Sunday morning when you come to the church, I want you intentionally to look around this entire congregation. I don't want you to look over people. I want you to look at people. before the service starts, look at them. See their faces. And here's my prayer. If there's somebody in this body that you have ought against, you'll know it when you see their face. Or you may have bitterness. How do you know you have bitterness? If a person's name is mentioned, and as soon as their name is mentioned, man, something just isn't right. Could be the root of bitterness. And brothers and sisters, repent of it. Ask God to forgive you. They say, why, preacher? Look at chapter 12, verse 18. Here's why. You say, yeah, but pastor, if things just don't go right, I'll just go to another church. Well, and listen, I know sometimes God does do that. Sometimes because of sin, because of maybe a, you know, abandonment of the Word of God or what have you, things aren't handled biblically, then yes, sometimes God does lead you away and God leads you to another church. Absolutely, He does that. I've seen God do that in my own life as far as different situations. But here's what we understand about church membership. Verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Church membership ought to be that because God led you there. That God's placed you there. And if God has placed you there, don't let bitterness, don't let getting your feelings hurt, don't let getting, and you fill in the blank, keep you from serving Jesus Christ. The church isn't perfect. Neither is your family. Neither is my family. Neither is Leslie's family. We're not perfect, but you know what we do? We love each other. We choose to love each other. And if something bad happens, guess what? We get together and we rally around one another and we love on each other. Because that's what families do. Families stick together in the bad times, amen? Families stick together in the tough times. Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest, I've never looked at church membership like that. But maybe from this day forward, I'm going to be intentional to lead my family, to pray for my church, to lead my family, to love my church, to lead my family in worship, and lead my family, hear me now, to lead my family to fall deeply in love with this body. God will bless you if you'll do that. And this church will be better if we do that.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.